When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Celtics Lab podcast, brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network and BetterHelp. You deserve to be happy. I'm Cameron Tepsibai, joined by Dr. Justin Quinn. And it's Saturday morning. We have an interesting Game 3 in the books to discuss, but Game 4 is right around the corner, so we won't linger too long. We'll do a little bit of news. We'll talk about the series, but we'll also look ahead. And to do all of that, we welcome in the godfather himself of CLNS Media, Nick Gelso. Nick, how are you?
Saturday morning, baby. Big game last night. Celtics sacrificed one for the Bruins to win one. Both could, yeah. You know. The Bruins like needed it.
Yeah. Thanos balancing act of you.
Yeah.
Dr. Quinn, do you have a meta excuse for the Celtics while we're doing that?
The fix was in from the league because they wanted more revenue, because that's what we always say, right?
There you go. That's a classic.
Yeah. The league put in the call for the Celtics to play bad defense.
Blame it on Stern. He's not even here anymore.
Yeah, he kept switching out Horford onto Trae Young.
There you go.
Ugh. So, yeah, what we'll do is in the lab portion of the programming in the second half, we'll get into that game. But again, game 4 is Sunday afternoon, so we figure we won't dwell too long on just that one game. Instead, we'll do a little bit of news. We'll poke around the league, and then in the lab portion of the programming, we'll talk about Hawks Celtics. We'll talk about presumably Sixers Celtics and some other goodies. How does that sound, Nick?
I'm in, man. I'm ready to go, Cam.
All righty. The first bit of news, and it's some fun news, is that Malcolm Brogdon is now the third ever Boston Celtic to win Sixth Man of the Year. He beat out Emmanuel Quickley of New York, and seemed pretty fitting. Nick, was it ever in doubt?
It's been 40 years since the Celtic won it, 30-some years. So, I can't say that it was 100%, but he is the quintessential sixth man, right? He came here to Boston with sacrifice on his mind and never complained, you know, from the beginning. Did the hard work, showed up every night. Everybody was worried about, you know, how many games would he be able to put in. The bench has served him well in that way, coming off the bench, and he's been nothing but amazing. So I'm thrilled for him. And it's a long tradition of, that's why, like, come on, man. Like, you're going to have Jamal Crawford give him the award. I realize why, but like, mm-hmm. You do have two living, like the first three, I think two of the first three,
yeah, two
six
of the first
men
three.
Ever were Walton and McHale. They're both still alive. Yeah. Why do we not honor our legends anymore?
McHale won it twice. Know?
I know. 2 years ago, the first two awards went to him, you know?
Yeah.
And then
let's see how the sausage gets made. Who does the Bill Walton broadcast? Is that a ESPN product?
I think it's TNT.
TNT, I think, or the NBA.
Then, yeah, okay. To your point, then that's just like a dereliction of duty. If it's your broadcaster and it's your program, why wouldn't you do that? I mean, maybe Bill Walton, he's got a lot of stuff going on, but that seems ridiculous.
Bill Walton will take any chance to get on the parquet floor in front of Boston fans. Are you kidding me?
He was lighting the Phil Knight Invitational on fire with his call. It was glorious. I love when he's on the call.
Yeah, so I mean,
sometimes incomprehensible, but it's great.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah, totally. I would agree. And I don't want to pick on Crawford. I love Crawford. I mean, obviously, probably maybe one of the best six men ever, right? So, I mean, I'm not being ungrateful, but it would have been great to see McHale and Walton back at the Garden. I mean, when I first started covering the team, the legends were everywhere, and now it's just Max, really. You see Satch once in a while.
Satch is there, yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, and then, I mean, Pierce and KG roll through, but they've got...
No, KG rarely. Hopefully they'll come through more. Pierce is there as often as he can be.
Yeah, and it's not like the team doesn't work with. I mean, I think the team takes such good care of its alum. I don't know why more people don't show up.
But well, a lot of them are dead now. They've all died since 16, really. You know, and
it's true.
Yeah.
Well,
and those 80s Celtics teams, you look at what the Lakers did going out to Hawaii. Those guys would never do that. You know, the Bird will never get off his recliner, man. He has that Bud Light or Miller Light, and that's all he needs, that and the recliner.
I was going to say, I don't think I've seen a public appearance from Larry Bird in a long time. But
last one he really did, like when I saw him, was Pacers-Celtics series, the Kyrie 17, I think he was there. And man, I'll tell you, it was like when Bill Russell would come, Cam, when Bill Russell would come to the arena, there would be a buzz. But when Bird came to the arena, it was a different kind of buzz.
I imagine it gets kind of annoying when you're trying to retire too, that still follows you around. I mean, like, oh, poor him, but still, like, it's got to be annoying.
Yeah. I don't know. Larry just doesn't love all that. So it is what it is. And Mikhail, he lives in Arizona now, so he's just not around. But there are planes. He could come. The thing about it is if the Celtics are going to do it, they're probably, I don't want to derail the podcast on six men. So congrats to Brogdon. And I'm so happy for him.
Congrats to Brogdon. Yeah. Yeah. It's a little shocking that between Mikhail and Walton and now Brogdon, those are the only three to ever won it. The awards started in the early 80s, but it still feels like Bossett could have, I guess,
named for one of the biggest six men in the history of
well,
the league.
So
though he
interestingly
around,
enough,
he wasn't able to win it because it didn't exist.
Right.
Yeah. Let's put back our tinfoil hats on. The first ever John Havlicek Sixth Man of the Year award went to a
Frank
Boston
Ramsey,
Celtic.
Really?
Yeah.
Frank,
no,
well,
you're
yeah,
not wrong.
Frank, yeah.
You're not wrong. He's the original.
Yeah. Yeah. Havlicek, he did steal the ball.
He did steal the ball. That Hondo trophy looks good. And I believe it's today the anniversary of his passing.
I can't remember.
Yeah, this is another like peek behind the curtain. Is Justin writes a lot of history stuff for Celtics Wire, and I go in sometimes to steal like back end copy and stuff, and so I see the history posts days ahead, and then I like sort of know what the anniversary is, but
what's coming. Yeah, I find out my dates from Honest Larry on Twitter.
From Honest Larry,
he's
gonna love that shout out.
Yeah, he's gonna love that.
He gets the pictures I can't get because, well, I won't talk about Twitter and copyright any more than I just did.
Why are they now copyright claim?
I don't know.
They de
let's
they
not
de check mark perk. They de check mark perk. They de check mark perk. How funny
they
is that?
De check marked all of us.
Did they? Not me. Yeah, but I pay, but I didn't get it from paying. It still says legacy on it.
It still says legacy in the code. I mean, it's still there. They just turned the check mark off.
Did they turn mine off? No, the minute that it went up that I saw that he bought, I immediately membered up because I'm like, this thing I didn't even ask for. It appeared like 10 years ago. I ain't losing it now because things did change. Yeah, it's still there. Things did change when you got verified, when it meant something.
I mean, it's going to...
Like, people started answering you.
Oh, for sure. And it's going to change. I mean, for Justin and us, our stuff's just not going to show up in the same way your stuff is. Like, it's definitely your preferential Twitter citizen now. But whatever.
Something else got to pop up. That's a whole another topic.
Yeah. Anyways, elsewhere in the news, Ime Udoka is now perhaps the leading target alongside Frank Vogel for... the coaching vacancy in Houston. That said, Nick Nurse does not work for the Toronto Raptors anymore, so who knows. He was interviewed earlier this week, and second rounds of interviews are meant to start, I think, as soon as this weekend or early next week. Dr. Quinn, you've been writing about this. What do you think the odds are that Udoka is the next head coach of the Rockets, even though I don't think any of us think it's a good fit?
I feel like it might be a better fit than I initially anticipated after talking with Ben DuBose of Rockets Wire on his Loggerline podcast. They seem to think over in Houston, he's pretty connected to the organization, that they are going to be a pretty different looking team come start of next season. They, even if they don't get Harden, they have cap space, they want to use it, they have assets, they want to upgrade, they want a coach who's able to coach more of a mixed roster, and they need somebody to get consistency and solid defense out of the team. They recognize that offense is kind of going to be a work in progress with their younger players. So I'm kind of more sold on the idea of Udoka going to them as kind of like a coaching pre-agency sort of a thing. But the other stuff, right? We couldn't ignore that in our conversation. They seem like they're doing their due diligence. I'm not real, you know, dialed in as to how much of it is show and how much of it is real, like intense, you know, investigations from an organization like Houston compared to, say, like an organization like the Celtics. And I don't know. I honestly think that Frank Vogel, the other supposed lead candidate, might be actually a better fit just because he's used to operating in kind of a chaotic environment, shall we say. And he is also that kind of like very experienced sort of established NBA coach. We only have one season of Udoka to go off of. And as I left them with in that podcast, we don't think that he's going to do anything like this again, but we also didn't think he was going to do anything like he did in the first place,
like
whatever
what
that was.
We still don't know. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, maybe Udoka is the right coach, but he comes with at least one, if not many weeks of, and this is the most reductive way I can put it, really bad PR, like shelving ethics or, you know, women who work for the Rockets organization. I don't mean to be flip about that really hard conversation, but like, Nick Nurse, the press conference is happy and easy. And Udoka, the press conference is terse at the very best, I guess. I don't know. So I think Udoka, like most people, deserve a second shot in the world, but you got to answer some questions. And if you're the Rockets,
yeah, I mean,
why,
how do you get a second
yourself
shot
for that?
When you don't know what the infraction was? I mean, I think Udoka, no matter where he goes and what he does, I think his best bet is to have a press conference, get it all out, and start over. You know, maybe there's certain things that can't be discussed, fine, but he has, I mean, this is such a difficult topic, right? Because whatever he did had to be horrendous, but we don't know. And he's not had an opportunity to even discuss it, defend himself, or even let it come out in the wash as to what he's defending. It's almost not fair, because we don't know what the infraction was, but I'll leave it at that. I mean,
it's a bad
hope
situation
that
all around.
It's a horrible situation, and it's a weird situation, to be honest. It's weird.
My personal opinion is I'm just glad it's no longer our problem.
Nope, it's not.
And I'm glad too.
To that, like, 1 week of bad press thing, they'll get hired somewhere and we'll talk about it one more time, and then hopefully that'll be behind us. All right,
exactly,
a couple
right.
more things in the news, and then we'll change gears a little bit with Grausbeck.
I will say this before we move on from that. I would have liked to see Vogel join Mazzulla's bench.
Or anyone. They were asking me, do you guys have any assistants that you might see make the next step sometime soon? I'm like, you guys picked us dry. I mean, like, the rest of the league, that is.
Danny,
we need more
right.
assistants.
We need, the Celtics need, they somewhat lack I don't want to say they lack a leadership voice, but they kind of do. And Mazzulla is kind of one of the guys. Some of his press conferences are sometimes one of the guys.
He feels like he's defending their honor a bit, regardless of how he treats them, you know, behind closed doors.
Correct. And I think that a strong voice would be helpful. Losing Stoudemire is a big loss, and so I think that's something the Celtics, now that they signed him to a long-term deal and he's permanent, and they need to get involved in working his coaching staff, because I think a lot of losses, possibly, you know, if you're looking at exhaustion at the end of the year, some questionable rotations. I mean, I'm even looking at Friday night's game. And when you go three deep into the bench, I mean, it's just odd with the way his rotations are just odd.
Yeah, it seems like he does a lot of his tactical stuff behind the scenes. He has no interest in sharing that with the world. And so I take it to be true that he engineered last year's defense, and that he is quite thoughtful about all of this stuff. There's an playoff, interesting element.
Playoff defense.
Playoff defense, sure.
But yeah.
Well, we didn't see any of that game three, I'll tell you that much.
No.
It's so clear that he is, like, I this is, like, such weird parlance from me, but he's like, such an alpha. And it's very clear, like, there's a pecking order on this staff. And I don't mean to say that, like, he couldn't handle someone who is this superior or age superior or has a higher profile. But it's interesting when you look at, like, Doc Rivers' staff, and it's all former head coaches, or you see some of these super deep coaching staffs.
But to be fair, Doc Rivers has been doing that for how long now? And I don't think he's going to be feeling threatened by an established head coach sitting behind him on the bench.
No, not at all. And I think, I mean, like Dave Yeager, for example, I don't think is trying to, like, climb a ladder at Doc Rivers' expense. So I think I agree, but there is something about the, like, look, there's a simple top-down system. Just because the guys sitting behind him are younger and relatively more unknown doesn't mean that they're not great at their jobs. But it does feel like occasionally, like, with respect to Joe Mazzulla, who's, like, functionally my age, he's 34. What if there isn't an adult in the room? Like, what if, you know, the kids are out to play? And
or even just the idea that their modern NBA coaching staffs are pretty big, and Boston's is closer to something we would have seen like 15 or 20 years ago.
Red would be proud.
He would.
I don't know. It's just like we don't know enough about this team or Mazzulla that whether they go to the finals or they lose next round, it's something that we like ponder is part of the sauce, but we just like we haven't seen it enough and we haven't heard from the team enough. I think probably this group of Celtics enjoys not having too many bosses, so to speak, but maybe, like I was saying before off air, maybe they got to eat their veggies a little more. I don't know. Okay. A little bit more news, and then we'll do an ad break and hit the lab. So here's how this is going to work. I'm going to gamify this a little bit. We have this big athletic player poll that came out, and it's dotted with Celtics stuff. So I'm going to swing back and forth between Nick and Justin, and they're going to tell me if the result is fair, fair enough, or foul. And every so often you can editorialize, but to the benefit of time, I mostly just want to hear your input. So Nick, Jason Tatum, fourth in MVP voting, according to the players, fair, fair enough, or foul?
Fair enough.
All righty, Dr. Quinn. Marcus Smart, third best defender, fair, fair enough, or foul?
Fair enough.
So diplomatic, you guys. Nick, Jason Tatum, fourth player you would most likely start a franchise with or want to start a franchise with, fair, fair enough, or foul?
Foul.
Okay, tell us, because I'm curious which direction you're going here.
I'm a homer. No, I mean, like, if I'm starting a team today, he's one of three that I'm picking to start. You know, I mean, there's no question about it.
Giannis,
I can
Luka?
Go on and on about, huh?
Giannis, Luka?
Probably Giannis, Luka, Tatum, Durant. If Durant's still healthy.
Durant's too old for me, but I
yeah, think. I mean, but you need that veteran. I mean, I think the Celtics lack a veteran right now. I mean, Al's there, but, you know, Al's, they need.
Yeah.
So I think Tatum would do well by having one older guy there.
Blake That's Griffin's Brogdon. Mustache is angry with you.
All right, I'm gonna take the next one. Grant Williams got a vote for most overrated, which is fair enough. But Trae
it's
Young
just one vote. It's fair.
Yeah, Trae Young got most overrated by a mile, which is hilariously fair. Although
I'll agree in both.
Game three begs to differ. Auser and Marcus Smart got votes for underrated. Dr. Quinn, fair, fair enough, or foul?
Fair. Bordering on fair enough, I think that Mark, in the case of Sam, I think it is very fair. In the case of Marcus, I kind of feel like he is more properly rated now than he has been.
Yeah, I mean, they went to the finals and he won a defensive player. He's got a real profile. Yeah. Okay, Nick, Bill Russell tied for fourth place for greatest of all time. Fair, fair enough, or foul?
Considering who's ahead of him, it's very foul. Very foul.
Yeah. Fourth is too low, and at least on this.
Who's ahead of him?
I think it was LeBron
and MJ.
MJ and Kobe.
Probably Kobe.
Yeah. Kobe does not belong there. He does not belong there. And I don't want to be disrespectful. God rest his soul. Rest in peace. But
there's some other Lakers who belong above him, like Kareem.
Absolutely. Kareem, even Magic. Kobe barely sniffs my top 10.
Yeah, and I think also, like, MJ, LeBron, all of these other guys, they fundamentally changed how basketball is played and what the league is. Yeah, we're
spoiled. How about Wilt? Right? They changed the rules for Wilt. And not to make it easier for him like they did with Jordan. They did it to make it harder for him.
Are you saying today's players are not a good scholar of NBA history at times?
They're terrible.
I wish there was a website they could go to help them with this.
They wouldn't go. They would need to. They could go to my history channel, you know. They could watch some videos. It's been all original content now. But
yeah, we love it.
Yeah, thanks. But yeah, I mean, like, it's just awful. And I don't think they have any interest in learning about history. That putting Bill Russell there is just a it's a light bulb to the whole poll.
I could see other people above him that aren't on that list, but yeah.
Me too. Like,
yeah, I think it's fair to put MJ if you're a 25-year-old basketball
Kareem
player.
Kareem belongs on that. Kareem. Oh, LeBron for sure. It should be like, again, I don't want to belabor this, but my top five would probably be, you know, Kareem, Bill, MJ, LeBron. What do I have? One left? Maybe Magic or Larry. Or KD maybe, you know? I mean,
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a sneaky one, huh?
You're high on KD. Wow, that's crazy.
Everybody thinks I hate him, but I love his game. Love his game. I just don't like a lot of his... antics.
Twitter personality.
Yeah. He's actually Russell a pretty good guy. He hits me up a lot, actually. but he's phenomenal. But
I'm a jerk on Twitter. Russell, it happens.
Huh?
I'm a jerk on Twitter. It happens.
I don't agree with it, but he's creating his own drama. I don't know why he does it, but whatever. But listen, Bill Russell, with Kobe ahead of him, is flat out disrespectful. Flat out disrespectful. It is called like the Jim Morrison effect or the Janis Joplin effect. Janis Joplin, you know, and I don't want to disrespect Kobe, so I'll put it in Jim Morrison. Yeah, I mean, he was an okay writer, but like, this isn't fucking poetry. And I mean, it's not like, you know, Jim Morrison's music was pretty elementary, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was okay.
Yeah.
But if he didn't die at 27 or whatever he was, I think he would just be another great band. I sound like Dennis Rodman. He would just be another great band from a great era of music, you know? But they put him all the way up here. Same thing with Kurt Cobain. You know, and they do it with Kobe. It drives me out of my mind because you guys are all old enough. We saw him chuck up and shots, and we've also seen him, you know, lead the team to the finals, put them on his back, and have ice in his veins. But he's no number three.
Yeah, I mean, it can be true that he was really, really good and a generation's best player, but it can also be true that 11 is a really big number of titles to have won. All right, let's keep it moving. Let's breeze through these last ones, although they're pretty interesting. Dr. Quinn, Marcus Smart, fourth, for at least wanting to fight fair or foul, or fair enough, whatever.
Fair enough by hair. Fair enough by hair. I mean, there's like Stephen Adams. I wouldn't want to fight more than him. What's the guy who does the MMA? I think he won. I can't remember what his name is off the top of my head. James Jones, something like that. He's been in the league forever.
Yeah, I think
it's fair enough.
Fair enough.
Personally, I wouldn't. I don't think there's a single person in the NBA that I would win a fight with. So I don't have real stake in this one.
Yeah, I'm old. That's true. All of them. Literally all of them.
Yeah. All right. The Garden. Wait, explain this to me, Justin. Garden.
This made no sense, right? Go ahead.
So the Garden won number one for the best fans, but it also won for the fourth worst for the worst fans. I do not understand how that happened.
That makes sense. No, that totally makes sense to me. No, because it's like...
You look, best like fans for the team, worst fans for opponents, maybe?
Yeah, like remember what Al Horford's dad was like, look, the Celtics were losing to the Hawks in the playoffs, and he looked up and the fans were still cheering for the Celtics, and that was inspirational. Great. Also, Celtics fans will throw water bottles at you and like maybe say a slur.
We're not going there. I was at games at the Spectrum where Larry Bird got booted and had beer, piss, and popcorn thrown all over him. I'm not saying it's acceptable, but one time in the 10 years I've been covering the team, a water bottle flew out of the sky and just happened to go towards Kyrie Irving. He's fucking flipping everybody off. Come on. I don't want to hear about
Yeah, but that's not nice.
People, but in every arena, I think Boston gets a little bit more attention because of its fairly unsavory racial history, but yeah.
That's the thing is, I actually disagree. I think this isn't happening at Wizards games or like Hornets games.
Wizards games, they don't go into the arena until the third quarter. They're out in the nightclubs.
That's what I'm saying. There's no fans. So they're a third of the league is just like not participating. Yeah, a third of the league is like not participating in this because like their fans just aren't there. So then it's a smaller class. So actually being first and fourth, you're only competing with like 10 total teams.
And we know Kyrie and Jaylen Brown voted against Celtics fans, no question.
Yeah, I'd really like to see Jaylen's data there. Missoula was sixth for coach you'd most want to play for, which is just fascinating because I don't think he has that much of a rapport, but...
He's a player's coach. He lets you do whatever you want.
And he's doing well. So why wouldn't you want to play for a coach who's known to be a player's
clearly
coach?
Clearly he's standing for his players.
Yeah.
At the risk of his own reputation sometimes.
For sure. I don't think that is a person who cares about their reputation at all.
No. He's like secretive about it. Like maybe he's a cloud reputation carer, but yeah, he's not showing it.
No. I got takes on that. The players said the Celtics... We gotta get to the ad read.
This might be a two-part episode, guys.
The Celtics are second most likely, according to the players, to win the finals. This data came out like last week, so
back to the Garden real quick. The Garden, can we put that poll up every time an NBA player our own players complain about our fans? Can we put that poll up every time? Like players voted it the best fans in.
But that's the thing. I think they know it. Like, I think they travel and they see, like, oh, I'm in Utah on a Tuesday, and like, this is what the fans are like, or you know what I mean? Like, I think they coming back to Boston, they're reminded that this is a serious atmosphere. It's almost always a sellout. It's loud and passionate, and that matters.
It is always a sellout. Yeah.
Exactly. So even I think the
smart fans.
Yeah. A little acrimonious at times. I don't want to like deny what players have said they've experienced, but Nick, you're right. There's a lot of stadiums where that happens. It's not Boston doesn't have the market cornered on racism.
Let's face it, that land right there, and it doesn't get enough credit. That land where that building is, right next door, is where all a good portion of equality happened in sports. Many firsts happened in that. So people can say what they want about the city.
At the same time that equality was happening, a lot of the worst inequality in the northern United States was also happening. People mix those things up. But let's not get into that.
People can say whatever they want about the city, and it's justified in a lot of ways in the past. But in that building, they revered their players. And I mean, I talked to a lot of the legends guys, and including Bob McAdoo, who hates Boston. They have never heard the things that the recent players are saying that they've heard. So I'm not doubting it. It's more of a sign of how bad the times maybe are across the United States than it is about Celtics fans. But Al Horford will tell you Celtics fans are the best. He came back twice, right? Isaiah Thomas, they had to pull him out. He's still crying. He's still screaming, kicking, and crying. I mean, he had to be pulled out the door because he loved it here so much. So, Bill Walton, another one, I mean, you go down the list. So let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. I mean, they were voted number one fans by the players.
That's the hypocrisy though. That drives me crazy. Cause are they, or aren't they, I mean?
Could be both. It's polarizing. The Celtics fans are polarizing. Yeah. Okay. One last note. If you're going to make a custom pair of sneakers, maybe do a spell check. Let's pause the action and talk.
James Naismith just be the inventor of basketball? Can he just invent basketball?
I don't think he was saying that James Naismith.
What really is he saying?
I think he's saying, hey, look, there are parallel evolutions of stuff going on in what we call sport all the time, and that we maybe need to.
I think there is very little similarity between the two sports.
Puck to puck, I mean, like it's
a ball goes through a round thing.
Soccer, yeah.
Okay, we got to read
soccer. No.
Ad read now.
No, wait. I just got to hone in on this for a minute. There are so many statements Jaylen can make. Why can't James Naismith own inventing basketball?
Dr. James Naismith.
Thank you. Dr. James Naismith has been accused of plagiarism by, I can't remember the name of the town.
It's like in New York, yeah. There's a town in New York.
Whatever. There's always going to be people saying stuff.
Look, as someone who worked at a YMCA for a very long time, you just come up with games to keep kids happy, and whatever comes out of your ass is the best thing.
But the Mayans were cutting people's heads off who lost. I mean, they were animals.
Yeah. Or one, we are not sure. We are actually not sure if it was won or lost.
Who got right. Game. So, like, what are we talking about here? You know what I mean? Like, there's so many other things you could put on your shoes and spell it
like
right.
Bill Russell, for example. That was pretty cool.
That was a great thing. That was
a good one. That was okay. Great. So he's one and one on the shoes, and we'll see what comes up with the next pair. All right, I want to talk about our friends over at Nick. I'm about to ask you about the Red Sox, so strap in.
Boy.
Grand slams, no hitters, and double plays are back, and there's no better place to get in on the MLB action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook and official partner of Major League Baseball. And new customers in Massachusetts can get in on the action with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston. Finally, you can bet on all your favorite sports from the money line to point spreads to player props and more. Nick, what are your thoughts on the Red Sox?
How are they already, like, what are they, 10 games back? How many games back are they? Like,
too many. I mean, thank goodness that the Orioles are not as good as maybe they were going to be, but the Rays and Yankees are really good, so their goose is cooked.
I'm watching
John Henry
this from...
destroyed that team.
I'm watching this from a Ted Lasso season 3 kind of a perspective. I don't really know what's going on because I don't follow the sport, but I know it's not good.
Oh, it's bad, and I'm going to tell you, like, I have no love lost for Henry. I'm going to tell you something, guys. I still live on Boston Harbor, so, like, I could see the harbor from outside my now I have a balcony with my window. And during the pandemic, during the lockdown, John Henry anchored his yacht in the middle of Boston Harbor and let us all watch him live in laps of luxury while we were going out of our minds. That fucker could get out. Are we not allowed to curse on? You could beat me. He could get out of here, man. Go away.
I think after 10 minutes, we're good.
And where's LeBron? He owns a part of that team. Like, come on. He's another one who's bad-mouthing Boston and owns a team in Boston. Please.
I love blaming the Red Sox on LeBron. That's so great. Okay. Now there's an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your chance to get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. Visit FanDuel.com/Boston and make every moment more. FanDuel, an official partner of Major League Baseball. You must be 21 and older and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit is required. And the bonus bet is issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Hope is here. Gambling helpline, MA.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start, GameSenseMA.com, or call 1-800-GAM-1234. All right.
I have got to tell you, I am the worst gambler of all time because, before the series started, I said the Celtics will lose. They'll lose game 3, no doubt. Yesterday, I'm looking at FanDuel going, I need to bet the Hawks. But I can't bet against the Celtics. So I didn't bet at all. I'm the worst gambler of all time. I would have won if I bet the Hawks.
You can find a sport that you don't have skin in the game.
Yeah, I did well with March Madness, you know, because I didn't care. Well,
there you go.
Yeah.
Being the UConn junkie that I am, but I missed that one.
I wonder if Ray Allen, you know he didn't bet. Ray Allen, he doesn't drink, he doesn't bet, he doesn't do anything. Right. No, he plays basketball. He could still hit a couple threes, I bet.
Oh, I bet.
He looks like he could play tomorrow.
I was gonna say, I bet he could go and like give you 5 minutes.
Do you guys follow him on Instagram?
No, because
when I check in like twice a year,
he like changed his Instagram, so I haven't in a while.
He is a must follow, not because he's entertaining or informative. And I love Ray, but man, you know how OCD he is. You know how when you do stories and there's like, you know, the brackets of what, so you could tap next. He has so many stories in a day, you can't see the little snip. You know what I'm saying?
I don't click through those when people post that much content.
I have to sometimes because they're so whack sometimes. Sometimes they're just videos of watching grass grow. I swear to God. And him talking in the background. I'm like, Ray, what are you doing?
Get that guy a podcast.
Get a job. Maybe
he needs a podcast.
I tried to get him a podcast. He told me no. I'm like, but you're basically doing one on Instagram. Like, and not getting paid, Ray.
Ray, this is...
But you know what I bring to these shows, man? See, we didn't talk one bit about Celtics yet, but...
Let's do it!
Go ahead.
Yeah, what a professional segue. Okay, so we'll talk about Game 3 for a little bit. We do have another ad read to get to. My read on Game 3, and then I'll ask you yours, is simply that that was the best the Hawks could possibly play, and it looked pretty good, and they're a fine team, and the Celtics did not play up to their standard, and they almost won, and it's the opening round of the playoffs, and that's how those things go. Nick, you said you were pretty sure they were going to lose Game 3 anyway, so what are your thoughts on what actually went down?
Well, I did a video breakdown of how amazing the defense was in Game 1 and 2 right before tip-off of Game 3, and I had to delete it by the end of the first half because it was so embarrassing. I mean, they're not going to score 70 points and a half again. We know that, you know. The Celtics will be better defensively. Jaylen was pretty much a no-show. I don't know if the finger's hurting him or whatever, if it's gotten in his head, I'm unsure, but he was pretty non-existent. My biggest, you know, go back on, like, looking back on that game is the resurfacing of Grant Williams. You know, that's probably one of the more better takeaways. And I also, besides like that second quarter where Atlanta scored 40 points or whatever, I mean, for the most part, the Celtics played well. You know, it wasn't like you didn't like go away from that game with boomer rage. You know what I'm saying? Like, you went away from it and said, okay, well, you know, it is what it is. It happens sometimes. Not to be cliche, but make miss league. In this case, it was make league, but Atlanta made more.
Yeah.
And Trae Young actually appeared in a playoff game.
They always say Game 3 is the hardest to win in a playoff series because psychologically the team that's up is like, we've got this, and the team that's down is like, we are about to be embarrassed on our own home floor.
Mm-hmm. And really, that's a home game for Boston.
Yeah. Well, I think actually for Jaylen, it's the first time Jaylen is a native of Atlanta played a playoff game in Atlanta. So between that and the bad press for the shoes, he could have just like been in his head.
Did Brogdon he get also... bad press for the shoes?
I try to be neutral. I mean, the spelling was a little embarrassing, neutral. But I mean, I try not to focus on that.
I don't think they were widely celebrated.
So
as the Bill Russell shoes.
Well, the Bill Russell shoes were beautiful.
Really, really cool shoes. Too.
Yeah, nice they were. And I mean, but listen, he's achieving. I'm being tough on Jaylen, but the truth is, he's achieving what he wants to achieve because we're talking about it.
And, you know, we're not talking about his game, which maybe he should have sat out and rested that hand so he can heal it up. But, you know, he seems to be able to play well enough to affect winning positively most nights. And I'm not going to pin the defense on him because he was not the problem.
No.
Also, can we talk about the rebounding? 48-29. My goodness. How are you going to win any game with a rebounding advantage like that?
Well, I was just saying, I think it's just credit to Atlanta. They were so aggressive.
Yeah.
It's not just that they pushed the tempo on offense, which they did, but they were also really crashing. Like, it was a real point of emphasis to play more physical and play fast. And maybe that's a desperation thing, or maybe that's a style change, but Boston just... Yeah. I mean, Boston, what was frustrating was they got baited into running, which they didn't need to do, and it didn't work out well for them. But they didn't get baited into crashing in the same way, and they didn't get baited into
running after someone and turning the defense into offense and running in transition, which they were not doing.
No,
that's what I mean.
No, yeah. And then Bogdanovich off the bench was a killer in that first half.
They too.
And then Drake showed up in fourth, and Sadiq Bey, I think he grabbed double digit rebounds. So, I mean, that was the best of Atlanta. That was their greatest hits in one game.
And I think before the series, we said Sadiq Bey was a name to watch. I mean, he's a good player, and they're not really sure what they have with him because he just joined the team. So that could be something. Let's do this. Because some people are going to listen to this podcast on Monday or Tuesday. Worst case scenario, Boston loses again. It's 2-2 going back to Boston for game 5 on Tuesday. Nick, level of concern if it's a 2-2 series?
It depends on how the loss comes, right? If they do lose, if they lose like they did Friday night, I'm not quite so concerned. I mean, you remember like 08, a terrible Hawks team took them 7 games. And that arena was rocking then, you know? So, but if they have the bad body language, the miserable post-game pressers, which happens when you lose, but when it's like mad at the media for doing their job type press conferences, and that goes from Missoula down to Brown, right? Then I'm slightly concerned. Maybe not, you know, against the Hawks, but against the Sixers, maybe. And then on top of that, Boston can really use the rest. You know, yeah. They're nicked up, and I think that although sometimes guys like, you know, like rest sometimes hurts teams, and so. Listen, I think they're going to win Sunday. I think they'll go back to Boston 3-1 and wrap it up in 5.
Sure. Dr. Quinn, quickly, level of concern?
Very, very low right now. I think we are all in consensus that what we saw was, as we have pretty much beaten into the ground at this point, that this was the best Atlanta was going to come up with. They might be able to play this way again, but they don't have the personnel and they don't have the momentum, in my opinion, to do this on Boston's home court. So Worst case scenario, the series gets tied up and then maybe it could go to 7, but I really don't think it would.
Oh, that would be really bad. I mean, not just for, I mean, for the rest factor, that would be really bad. Plus, for
particularly with what's going on with the other teams in the league.
That's one thing I want to make mention of is there's a lot of injuries going around, which happens every postseason.
And a lot of load management. So tell me how this works.
Well, in either way, I was going to say the Celtics injury, whatever it is, and I don't mean to be off for bad juju, it's coming. Someone is going to be out for a few games.
Don't say it, dude. Oh, come on.
Why did you do that?
It came with Jalen's finger.
Yeah, there you
okay,
go.
Okay, fine. Then it already happened.
It's good. We're good.
But whether it's Joel Embiid's sprain or Kawhi Leonard or Giannis's back, the
back, the injuries, with Giannis, the back with Giannis, because we know backs are tricky and they linger and they pop back up.
So have you ever really bruised your tailbone? That stuff lingers.
No, but I have broken ribs and I bruised ribs. That is the most painful stuff. So I can't imagine your tailbone.
Especially when your game is physicality. I mean,
physicality, right?
Yeah, and look, Milwaukee looked great against Miami with Giannis out. Thank you, Drew Holiday. But it doesn't seem like there will be enough time for Giannis to fully heal his. Like that's with him for the rest of the playoffs. Like no doubt. I mean, that might be the case for Jalen's fingers too, frankly. But
he got 5 stitches, man. Like we've all gotten stitches. I mean,
Bert, I think it's just. I think he just gets hit and they open. You know what I mean?
What did you say?
It's in the web of the fingers, as I understand. It's always muted.
It's in the web. Oh. That's a difficult thing. Then I.
It's not going to heal completely throughout.
It's not going
to
heal
probably to like the finals if he's lucky.
I take that back. Then I take that back. I could be tough on Jalen sometimes.
No.
He's so good, man. Though he's so good. He really is.
I mean, he's phenomenal. He does interesting things that make us talk about those interesting things. But look, the numbers he put up this season were as good as Jason Tatum's all NBA first team last season. So,
and let's face it, guys, like Tatum in the second half of the season wasn't tremendous, and Jalen was.
Yeah, he's been the better player in the latter half of the season, in my opinion.
He has been, and more consistent.
I think that's important too. Is if the Celtics are going to go the distance at times, unless Jason Tatum is about to level up and, you know, go supernova, at times Jaylen Brown is going to necessarily be the best player on the court. And he can do that. That bodes really well for the Celtics if and when that happens.
The other thing we didn't mention about game 3 is Derek White's not going to be in foul trouble every game of the, you know what I'm saying? Point. So that hurt them too, but I'm telling you guys, the biggest takeaway for me is that opportunity lended to Grant and seeing him come in. He wasn't complaining about calls. He wasn't being immature. He was really like last playoff run Grant. Yep. And I really hope, I don't know, we will probably never find out because the Jackie Mack pieces no longer exist when it comes to, they're so hush hush now, but I'd love to know at some point what Missoula's problem with Grant was, because No question.
Putting it on the floor when he shouldn't is what it was.
What was it?
Putting it on the floor when he shouldn't and complaining to the refs. Well,
Dayton does that a lot.
No one does it like Grant does, though. Nobody on the team. In fact, I think, this is my theory, that when Grant does it, it starts to creep into Tatum and other players on the team, and they start to kind of have the same kind of relationship with the refs while Grant is sitting on the floor wondering why he's not getting called with some clobber him in the face.
It's funny, though. I think Grant picked that up from Tatum.
But he ran with
maybe.
It.
Oh, he's brutal. And that's what was great last night. But that's something, Doc, that you could kind of like rationalize. Like, Grant is a smart man. You could rationalize with him, show him the film, show him what an idiot he looks like and how it's hurting his game.
I think he's come around to that.
Coach's DNP. Well, he obviously did last night, Friday night, but it doesn't deserve a coach's DNP for how many games at the second half. I mean, he was crucial last year, and he's going to be crucial against Milwaukee. So you better play him.
Yeah, it seems to me that White, Brogdon, and Grant, if Rob is the nominal starter, although maybe that's not the case anymore, those three guys need to have like there's eight guys that need to eat. They need real minutes. Mm-hmm. They need consistent minutes. And that's a huge opportunity because those are like really plug and play players. Mm-hmm. So I hope that this is a sign of things to come, because I think Grant is really valuable because he's a good player, but also preserves Al Horford a little bit. Also, interestingly, with Horford guarding Trae Young in isolation like many times down the stretch, and that was a choice. Anyways, let's do this, Nick. Here we will just go around the dial and like look at the other series, and then we'll shelve the history stuff. We'll have to bring on for just like ripping through Celtics history. And then just apologies in advance, Justin, but it says my internet is unstable. So
mine was too, but it locked up for a minute there.
All right. Well, we're talking about the rest of the series with that audio.
Damn it. We're a bunch of unstable fellows. Sorry about that.
Yeah. It's the internet.
Says mine. It's the internet. Yep. Blame it on the internet.
Okay. Nick, quick thoughts on Milwaukee, Miami, things that we didn't cover.
Yeah. I mean, listen, they won without Giannis. That bought them the game. I think that, Milwaukee's obviously going to win that series, but Miami, you know, Miami could take – the hope is that they take them the distance and Giannis doesn't get that rest.
Yeah. Dr. Quinn, quick thoughts on Knicks Cavs.
I think the Knicks are going to win it, but it's going to go to seven. It's going to be really, really close. I just think that there are more real NBA players with some real experience on the Knicks.
Well coached. Yeah. Wait, when was the last time the Knicks got to the second round? Has to be 15 years. Yeah. No, you know, 2013 when they beat
Carmelo. Yeah.
They beat the Celtics. They swept the Celtics and KG's last year in Boston and Paul. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I have to say, Cleveland scoring 79 points in a game is a disaster.
That's bad.
Yeah, that's as bad as it gets. Nick, any thoughts on Sixers Nets at this point? Sixers are up 3-0.
Yeah, I mean, Sixers look great. Harden looks good. I thought the I don't want to get into the refereeing, but that was a terrible thing that happened there, and I don't know what, you know, they were looking at the refs on the replay, but Philadelphia looks good. I just Boston seems to have their number. I mean, even when they did lose to them this year, it was a very close game. And it's so weird, like, because Milwaukee struggles against Philadelphia and Boston destroys Philly, so Philly struggles against Boston, so it's almost like they're on the wrong side of the brackets, but I think that series is going to probably go five games too. I think the Nets get one.
Yeah, it depends on what happens with that Joel Embiid knee sprain. That is going to linger, I think, but I think they're going to be fine beating Brooklyn without him. I think they might be able to steal a game, as you were hinting.
Mm-hmm. And I want to see the Nets steal a game. I mean, they've been through hell and back this year, and they're a good story. You know, when you look at it at the end of the day, you know, they've really been through hell. And here they're in the playoffs. And if they could get one away from Philly, it's a successful, crazy season.
As someone who has watched what Kyrie Irving can do to a team, they deserve a little nice boost at the end of the season.
Now, poor Dallas. Not even going to let Donna. Let's not go there. We know Kyrie's vote for worst fans was definitely one of those getting Boston to fourth or whatever.
Maybe he picked Dallas. I don't know. He doesn't seem to like it there.
Well, did he pick Dallas? Maybe he picked Dallas. He said, how would you know what he picked? Did he pick Dallas? They booed him, didn't they?
He probably didn't participate in the poll because it's the Athletic.
Yeah, let's just not go. That's just... Certain players you just can't even mention without feeling like you're going to get in trouble. So just
moving on.
It must be hard to be really, really, really good at your job and seem to hate your job.
I mean,
that's all I'm going to say about that.
And that is the
truth. I've had those jobs.
I had a career. I hate the restaurant business. I was really, really good at it. But I hate it. I feel so bad for Kyrie as much as I can't stand him because he's a tortured soul. Enough there.
Okay, let's do the West, and then we'll put a pin in it. So Denver's up 3 games on Minnesota. That's about as much as I could possibly have imagined. They might as well have missed the playoffs. I mean, that's tough. Although Anthony Edwards is so fun to root for. Nick, your thoughts on Suns Clippers? By far the most interesting series.
I think. I mean, now what? Kawhi's out, right?
He's out again. Yeah. And so Phoenix is up 2-1, and Kawhi is going to miss another game.
And that was going to be the interesting part of the series was Kawhi's defense, and you're not going to see it. So I think Phoenix wins. I mean, I'm picking Phoenix to come out of the West if it's not the Lakers. I'd like it to be
Lakers. Their late-game execution is still coming together. They don't really know what to do. Like, there's too many, and then they just drop it off to Aiden for a long.
You think about it though. I mean, Phoenix is new. Like, I mean, that's a huge integration there, and the dude gets hurt during warmups the first game he's playing. I mean, so you're really just reinventing the whole team
on the fly.
Degree.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's not a demerit. I mean, they have a good coach. They'll figure it out. It's just can you rebuild the boat on the fly? Mm-hmm. All right, Dr. Quinn. The most annoying series for my money at this point is Kings Warriors. Here's your thoughts. Kings are up 2-1.
I do think the Warriors can surprise everyone and win. I mean, the Celtics have come back from down 2-0 before, or 0-2 before as well. They have the veteran experience. They have the firepower. They have the defense, which the Sacramento Kings do not. I do think it's more likely the Kings end up winning this series just because of they've already put up 2-1 at this point. But I wouldn't rule the Warriors out. I think getting out of this series is going to take such a pounding on them that they're not realistically going to be a title contender this season, but I would not be surprised if they pull it off.
I'm going to agree with that and just kind of jump on top of it and say, shut up, JJ Redick. Like, shut up. Like, seriously, like, you're proving yourself wrong now, like, about the 80s and the 90s, because now you're crying about the officials and the physicality. I mean, come on, dude. Come on. Go away. I love that he got smacked around by Barnes and Perk and everybody who could talk.
I don't feel like I've been so categorically lied to across the NBA board as I have been by people in the Warriors orbit in the past few days. Because it's like, come on, have you ever even heard of a double standard? Like, what are you doing? This is so patently ridiculous. Okay, and finally.
Agreed. And that's great for Boston if Sacramento can eliminate the Warriors, because really, they're no matter how bad their season is, they're always the Celtics kryptonite. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Big bad boogeyman. All right, Nick, finally, your boy, LeBron. His Lakers are facing the Memphis.
I gotta be honest. I mean, there was a time where I couldn't stand LeBron, but I've really grown to like him a lot.
Likewise,
on and off the court, you know. So,
such a treat to root for him. Just like rooting for greatness. I mean, not against the Celtics necessarily, but
yeah, it's hard to root for the Lakers. But I am rooting for them out west because. And you know, if Adam Silver is rooting for it, I mean, can you imagine the stakes in that series?
LeBron. 18 versus 18, yeah.
18 versus 18, 18 versus 12, let's be honest.
Because you got the whole Freaky Friday, the Clippers are the Lakers thing. And if we're going to count
the Clippers
those titles, we got to count their titles. For what I'm alluding to, for those of you who don't know the history,
But I don't think that that's Clippers. The same. But there have been 17 titles won for a team that plays in Boston. And there have been
true, but it was a different franchise.
That doesn't matter. The players played in Boston. the Buffalo of it all doesn't matter to me. The Lakers thing is many of those titles were won in Minnesota. So it's like the city. Yeah, the city of Los Angeles can't claim it in the same way.
Fair.
No, and my thing is this, and I have it, I'll send it to you guys if you don't believe me. I have letterhead from Jerry Buss.
And that I mean, I believe all that, but...
And Jerry Buss did not recognize Jerry Buss did not recognize the Minneapolis titles. They didn't hang in the Forum.
Nope.
Mike until very recently, was right? Never, not until the early 2000s. And really, when the kids took over the Lakers, you know, and my dog is eating the remote control. Can you give me 1 second? You should leave this in. you know, but anyway, Dr. Buss didn't acknowledge those championships. So why do the fans get to now? They didn't even retire Mikan's number until like 3 years ago or something, 5 years ago. They have 18 titles. So yes, the stakes are so high. Breaks the tie. LeBron's story.
These kinds of games, man. Me too, man. Get there. I don't think they're gonna, but it would be. So
let's not get too ahead of ourselves here.
Street clothes has to play, man. Remember, like, we wanted him so bad. The Celtics fans wanted Anthony Davis in the worst way. I did not either. I was out from the beginning.
It was Paul George. It was Kawhi. It was Blake Griffin. It was LaMarcus Aldridge. We were just out to lunch and eyeing whatever the trade menu had to offer.
But the NBA is a better place from the lake when gold and green are playing each other. It just is. Mm-hmm. And the Knicks, too. I mean, this could be a great year for the NBA. You got Philly. You got Boston, you got LA, and I think you're really missing from legacy of Detroit. Maybe you know, you got the Bucks. The Bucks have always been perennial. So, like, I mean, it's not going to be a Bucks Suns finals, hopefully, because that was a ratings disaster. I think, wasn't it?
Good for hoops, the better ones, yeah.
Good for hoops fans, not good for casual consumption.
Right.
But let's stay in the present. The Celtics have game 4 Sunday. This episode of the Celtics Lab podcast was brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network and BetterHelp. You deserve to be happy. Nick Delso of CLNS Media fame. I'm sure people listening to this podcast know where to find you. We didn't even get to all the history stuff we wanted to do, so we'll have to bring you back for all that.
That's an off-season thing, man. We have been talking about doing a joint project for about 2 years now. Maybe this is the off season we do it, man. Because
I think so.
You know, I feel now that I got a groove with the history. I found the audience, you know, and
it's not NBA players apparently.
It's not, nor is it JJ Redick. That NBA History Channel. So youtube.com/NBA History CLNS, I think. Last 28 days, it's got 1.9 million views.
People love that stuff. Remembering it, yeah.
And it's crazy. Like, there's stuff at the top of the video, you know, that have been released that are sitting there with, like, next to nothing. I'm like, where are these views coming from? Well, Justin, you know, it's stuff that stuff doesn't expire. Nope. You know, so that's just so much fun. I mean, history has always been my thing. But the business didn't allow it to be my thing for many years. And now that the business has grown up and outgrown me, it's been my little kind of niche to still be involved in content, my little nook. And it's a hell of a lot of fun. I enjoy every bit of it. I get to be a boomer and love. Guys, I can, and I know we want to wrap here, but like I'll say at the end of the season, like I'm done with the NBA, like I'm tired of it, right? You know how it is. It's a slog. We've been doing it long enough, but I'm saying I'm not watching any more games. And what do? I go on YouTube and I watch 1986 games, 1981 games, 1970s games, 90s not so much, early to the mid 2000s I'll watch. But, you know, it's just really, really my passion. So thanks for mentioning that. My Twitter is @CLNS_Nick, and I normally wouldn't shameless plug that, but I dropped under 10,000 followers because I was picking on Elon Musk and tagging him.
Thank you.
He shadow banned me, that son of a bitch.
I would believe it. I would fully believe that. All right. Well, go follow Nick so he can stick it to Elon Musk.
Get back up to there. Yeah. I got to get that back up over 10,000. You know, at one time that was 24,000 followers.
I used to be a homer, guys. You know, my hot takes since the Kyrie era, my negativity has dropped me quite a bit, of half my followers. But the real fans still follow.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you just got to keep antagonizing Elon Musk and Kyrie. I mean, it's a good brand.
It works.
Kyrie blocked me. It's like Isaiah Thomas blocked me. Why would Isaiah Thomas block me? You know why he blocked me? Now, keep in mind, I gave all the footage for that stupid Book of Isaiah documentary they did. All the practice footage came from us. We're in the credits. I saw him in Boston when he came back with Cleveland. Dude gives me a hug, thanks me. One conversation he's not even involved in, where, you know, every year the fans would start, bring Isaiah back, bring back. And all I said was, no, unless you're Star Wars or The Godfather, no sequels ever do well. Let's enjoy the special nature of what that season was that year. He blocked me for saying that. Yeah, how sensitive are you, man? Now he wants a podcast, I heard. I can't see it because I can't see his tweets. But so many people sent me screenshots of it. I like Isaiah a lot, but man, don't be so sensitive. JJ Redick blocked me.
Yeah, but that one checks out.
Talk about soft. You want to talk about soft? The dude blocked me. I'm a nobody.
No, that's apparently not.
I guess not.
All right. Thanks everyone for listening. We will catch you next week, and like and subscribe if you haven't. Adios.